Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
This has been the week from hell. Not for you, not because of the services. This has been the week from hell for Jesus. He faced the betrayal, the trial, the denial, the shedding of blood, the nails, the cross, so that you might be set free and alive. And as we say in the Creed, he descended into hell. But why? We simply believe that Jesus Christ, God and man, descended into hell after the burial, conquered the devil, destroyed hell's power, and took from the devil all his might. Jesus goes to hell, endures hell, to shut the door of hell and to declare victory over sin, death, and the devil for you. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And the world thinks that you are fools for it. One man who is true God and true man, perfect and without sin, died to save the whole world and prevent hell for you. Then he rose again. Ha! That doesn't sound even possible. People just don't rise from the dead. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. For if the dead did not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is empty and you are stuck in your sin. But consider the possibilities if this is actually true. 500 different witnesses have been noted to seeing Jesus. Josephus, who was not even a Christian historian, has recorded accounts of people who said that they saw Jesus alive. Consider the possibilities if this is true. Joy, healing, the abundance of beauty, being reunited with your loved ones in the flesh on the last day, not flying spirits in the sky or balls of light floating around in heaven. Flesh and blood, people just like you are now, with no glasses, no diabetes, no hair loss, nothing. Nothing that we see in our ruined day and age. Losing a loved one, a family member, a friend, is painful. And I would even dare say that 4 years after the lovely pandemic that we endured, you and I are still reeling from it. It takes 7 years to get over the death of a loved one or a family member. We're only in year four. Everybody in here has been impacted by the death of that dreaded pandemic. What we wouldn't give to see and to touch and to hear those loved ones again, to see them walk into the door and to be able to run up to them and to hold them and to even smell them as you remember smelling them, even as a little child. This is the hope that surrounds you today with the resurrection of Christ. And if you don't desire the loving embrace of a resurrected Jesus leading you into heaven, then the alternative is yours. It will be your week of hell, your eternity of hell. There is no in between. Even if you don't believe a shred of this here today, you can't deny that life flies by too fast and it is fleeting. And every last one of you has a grave, a basket, or a casket waiting for you. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You heard in the Old Testament from Job today. Fascinating book. Open it up sometime and read it. Give it a read and maybe realize, maybe my life isn't so bad. God permits this faithful, faithful man, Job, to be tormented directly by Satan. His whole life is a life of misery. It starts off with Job's house getting hit by a tornado. Little raw, 1 year ago today. Behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. Job mourned and bore the grief of seven dead sons and three daughters. All of his wealth, his animals, everything he owned vanished with that one storm. He had become repulsive to his wife. She said, "Why don't you just curse God and die already?" His brothers found him to be despicable. Even his little children around him who saw him despised him as he laid in an ash heap outside of town. And if that was not bad enough, he lived out this unrelieved misery for months with boils and ulcers and open sores all over his body. At first in the book of Job, he has this amazing response. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not receive evil? But as the hell dug itself into him over the months, Job wavered in his confidence of God. Job could only think that God was ignoring his faithfulness. Job felt that God was treating him as an enemy. Have pity on me, have pity on me, O you my friends, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you persecute me as God does? Are you not satisfied with my flesh? That's what we hear right before our reading today. But there are little glimmers of hope that Job has. You heard it just a few moments ago. He confessed that after death, he would see the risen Redeemer of the world. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. After my skin is thus destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. That's you as well. On the last day, you will rise in flesh and blood and soul. And with your eyeballs, you will see the ascended living Jesus Christ. You will see his scars from the cross by which you are healed, and you will see each other. Your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your parents, and everybody else that you have lost. Even though Job felt that God was treating him as an enemy and not a friend or a child, it just was not true. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And Jesus' resurrection proclaims that Job and you and me are not enemies of Jesus, but we are his friends. We are his children. We are heirs of everlasting life. Jesus' resurrection tells you and me that Jesus does not want you to go to hell. Instead, he wants you to be with him in his holiness, righteousness, his beauty, and his love. And that is what he is saturating you all with here today. To be sure, hell will still rage against you, because the devil will continue to tempt you with all the cares and pleasures of the world. Yes, it is the one-year anniversary of the large tornado that ripped through here. And honestly, as you go back and look at the photos and videos of that, I really cannot think of a better metaphor of what it's like to live in this life. It's chaotic. It's stressful. You don't know where it's going. And we are hell-bent on destroying one another so that we can lift ourselves up above everybody else. It hurts. It hurts to have it done to you. And maybe, just maybe, it should hurt when you do this against each other. And in the midst of all of that chaos, the devil is prowling around us. And when we follow him and touch him and listen to him, then we become as ugly as he is ugly, and we make the lives of others and our own lives hell on earth. Scripture says, resist him. But you don't resist him on your own. You don't sit there and say, okay, devil, let's take this on. You flee to Christ. You pray to Christ. You pray to the champion. You take care of him, and he will. Yet in that resisting, he will make things even uglier for you, making life seemingly worse. He's always ready to open the door of hell back for you. Yet the gate of heaven has been rolled away, and your Redeemer lives. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
That's why you need church, people. That's why you need this place. This is not a bunch of people who are better than everybody else. This is not all about how moral you are or anything else. This is about being broken, dying people, coming in from the chaos and darkness of all the mess out there that you experience and all the messes that you have made of your life. That's why you need church. Hell is unleashed on this world, but Jesus, our Lord, says, the gates of hell will not prevail over my church. Here at the church, Jesus says, wherever two or three or, 200 of us are gathered here today, there I am with you. He's here on this altar telling you that as you have received his heavenly holy baptism and his heavenly holy absolution, you are now seated at the foretaste of the feast to come in heaven. You come into the communion of the saints. As we gather here on this side of this altar, I always want you to imagine on that side of the altar are your parents, your children, your grandparents, the faithful who are in heaven, therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. It's what we confess in the creed, the communion of the saints. Here at church, heaven collides with this earth, no matter how much the devil rages. And here you come into the divine holy presence of the resurrected Christ to feed you, to comfort you, to forgive you, and to make you one with those who've gone on before you, promising you that as you are now with them here, you will be with them face to face in eternity. You are born in the newness of life, born no more to die. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
If you want to go to hell, then you have to step over the dead body of the Son of God to make your way in. It's why even on Easter we preach Christ crucified. So rejoice, feast, eat some sugar and fat, drink what you like, bask in holiness and hope that is yours even in the face of the grave. Because Jesus Christ endured a week of hell so that you might rise eternally into the new heavens and the new earth. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And so shall you. To Christ alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen.